Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Okay, we're recording this week's episode of the Midweek How. It's Martin Luther King Day, but I want to give a warning because we got a bad review from somebody who obviously is not in on the joke of what we do here on the Midweek How. Is we make fun of everybody. Nobody's sacred. No matter what anybody thinks, and it's all in good natured fun. And if you can't handle the hypocrisy that gets pointed out, then maybe you shouldn't listen. So I'm just giving everybody a chance to change the dial to something else. If you don't want to, hear us riff on stuff, you know, mainly it's for our own amusement, but there seems to be people out there that find it amusing. When we talk about stuff. So I just want to throw that out there for anybody that's tuning in for a paranormal episode. This is not the paranormal part of the From the Shadows podcast. This is the Midweek How, where we have a little more fun. It's a little bit looser, and you never know what the howler's going to say, right?
Yes. I don't know. I was muting my thing a second ago. Yeah. You know, I'm going to be honest with you, man. When you told me that, about that negative, you said, hey, we need to, did you say put a disclaimer on?
Yeah.
Because somebody might have gotten upset.
Well, somebody did get upset. And I mean, but that's on them.
They got upset?
Yes, they expressed
That doesn't mean they were upset. It means they expressed that they were upset.
Oh, okay. I see what you're saying.
I don't really necessarily get into the perception as reality. You know mm-hmm. what I mean? Mm-hmm. Because just, you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because I have seen people misinterpret their emotions. Okay.
That's an interesting take. People misinterpret.
And I don't want to put thoughts in their head, but.
Gotcha.
If anything that we've ever said upset somebody, two things is going on. They're either very thin skinned.
Yep.
They obviously never worked for the post office.
Exactly.
And they misheard us because we have nothing but love and tender, caring emotion for everybody with the exception of very, very, very few, and they don't listen.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. You know, and I find it very, and I'm going to use the word ignorant. It is. If you believe that and you are the kind of people that are not inclusive and look down upon some people because of how they live their lives, as long as it's, you know, within the parameters of the law. And I think you even have a soft spot.
I don't know. I look down on a lot of people, so don't put me in with you.
Okay. Well, what I'm saying is we give everybody a chance until they prove us otherwise, I think.
Until they're an ass. If they're an ass, see, that's the problem. And some people, the problem is America's so soft nowadays, they don't know what being made fun of really feels like, right?
Exactly, yes.
Because had they been in their current situation 20 or 30 years ago, they would recognize how easy they have it now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, exactly. And, you know, and it just.
Did you watch the movie Devotion?
Ooh. No, I don't.
It's out right now. It's a new release right now.
No, I've not seen it.
And it's about a guy named Jesse Brown, who was the Navy's first black aviator.
Oh, I know which movie you're talking about. Yeah.
Okay. Now, if you were a black aviator in 1950.
Times were tough.
Times were tough. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Times were tough, buddy. Mm-hmm. All the way around. And I don't know, at some point when they make the movie about the first non-binary, I don't even know, they change, whenever we have, in 40 or 50 years, when they make the movie about Pete Buttigieg, when he decides to be a fighter pilot or something, they'll realize how hard, easy they had it. Or they won't be making them. Let me rephrase it. They won't be making a movie out of that because they don't have it hard. You know?
Yeah. I mean, I don't think they have it nearly as hard as what. I don't think people have it nearly as hard sometimes in some instances as what. But I do think that there's probably places where people do have it pretty tough, that people are not as welcoming or whatever. And that's fine. I mean, but to think that we aren't is, and I'm sorry. Look, I'm really sorry. The comment that this person was really upset about was not directed at anybody real.
Or it was specific. Superman, right?
Superman and the Green Lantern. I mean, let's get real.
Because okay? I thought I said, "What if Superman wanted to be Wonder Woman?" And you said, "No, Green Lantern." You must have said Green Lantern.
No, it was it was the Green Lantern. And it's like. Okay, and I thought, you know, you made the point without really stepping on anybody's toes. And so if you are listening to the show and you identify with Superman and the Green Lantern, then you got other problems. I'm sorry. Okay. I'm very, very open-minded. Okay. But I do have a line that I draw in the sand is if you tell me you're going to identify as a cat or a dog, that's just not real. Okay. That's not real. It's not possible and it's not ever going to be a reality. Okay. That's how you identify yourself, then I'm sorry. In my book, there might be some therapy that you need. Okay. Well, I just can't wake up tomorrow morning and say, well, I'm going to identify as Elvis or Garth Brooks or, you know what I'm saying? I mean, there's things that are possible and there's things that are just impossible. And that's impossible. I mean, to do something like that. And then
Elvis was a prophet, right? So you can't, I mean, that's almost sacrilegious. Which, say you're playing Elvis, but now Garth.
Which is. Yeah. Which is, and that brings me to how sad it is that Lisa Marie passed away.
Yes. You know, I tell you, that's where Prince Harry missed the boat. Cause I don't know why he didn't marry Lisa Marie, because she obviously liked younger guys with problems and both of their dads were the Kings. So that could have been a good thing to bring our country together. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, man. That's interesting. That's interesting. Do you think Prince Harry ever had a chance at Lisa Marie? I mean, how do you follow?
Cage that one husband of hers. Did you see the ex-husband with the top hat that looks like he came out of the Tom Petty video? What's the Tom Petty video where he wears that goofy top hat?
Isn't that Mary Jane? Or is it Chasing Down a Dream?
One of them's got a big floppy top hat, not like an Abe Lincoln real top hat, but
where it's like an Alice in Wonderland, right?
Yes.
I think it's Chasing Down a Dream.
So there was a picture of Lisa Marie Presley on the red carpet with one of her estranged husbands or ex-husbands, whatever he was in the mix. And he was standing there with a stupid look on his face with a freaking top hat on that looked like he'd come out of the Tom Petty video. And I'm sorry, man, but I got more respect for a mixed up person that thinks they're a a dude that thinks he's a female cat than a guy that has the ability to sleep at Graceland, to get invited to the red carpet, to be in one of these places at the old Chinese theater, wherever they were, and you can't have the respect for the history of where you're at to wear a freaking top hat to look like you come out of a goddamn, if you're a cartoon character.
Okay.
That's dumber than the damn.
There's something to be said for style, right?
And because hold on a second. I think if people had, and I don't even know how we do, I mean, this here, the freaking ship is sinking, right? And I was just listening to a thing about why the Titanic sunk.
Because it hit an iceberg, right?
I was listening to an economist.
Okay.
And this is what he said. He'd watched this documentary. I'm going to try to find out where it's at. Because he said, you know, his daughter was enamored by the Titanic. And they decided to watch his documentary about the Titanic. Younger daughter, right?
Yeah.
And it said several things were going on. First of all, there was a coal fire. You know, I guess the little girl said, Daddy, why didn't they just go? Or why were they going so fast? And why didn't they go around the ice floes?
Mm-hmm.
And they had a coal fire aboard. They were a coal-fired ship. They had a coal fire aboard, and the only way to get rid of a coal fire is to get rid of the coal, which means they shovel in there as fast as they can. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Well, the White Star Line had been purchased by J.P. Morgan or whoever. There was a big credit scheme in place that enabled whoever the owner was, the White Star Line, to buy all this stuff. So times were real lean because they were on leveraged money. So they only put enough coal on board to make a straight line from Liverpool to New York.
Yeah.
So then when they got the coal fire and they were shoveling it and it was increasing their speed and they knew the iceberg was coming up, they still couldn't go around because they thought they were the unsinkable boat. And even if they hit an iceberg and messed a little something up, that was going to be less embarrassing than running out of fuel, you know, 50-100 miles within sight, maybe, of New York. So what he said was, usually when bad stuff happens, it's not one mistake that does it. It's a series of mistakes that lead to another mistake, lead to another mistake. And then the thing, you know, the Titanic goes down, right? Mm-hmm. So that's where I feel our broadcast is going today. Because
it's the Titanic.
Yes, because I'm about to, you know what I mean? I don't know why.
Well, we don't.
I was snowed in with kids for 4 days that I could potentially go off at any second.
Well, we'll try to steer clear of the iceberg. Okay. I just felt we needed to. I think.
You told me we had one listener who wrote to you, and then my question was, how many episodes did they listen to, or were they a first time one hit one?
I don't know.
I was involved in politics a couple of different times in my life. This mm-hmm. time last year, I was in the middle of witnessing the biggest political circus I've ever seen up close, and I saw giant organizations try to move on the behest of one or two malcontents that only thought about that organization in the 30 minutes or so that they were listening to it. Does that make sense?
Yeah, exactly.
Yet these organizations, these people that work there and live there and some of them eat and breathe and sleep those things 24 hours a day, they had to change their lives for somebody that only listened one time. And that's bull.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, look, if you don't like something, just move on. You know, I mean, just move on and you know, and we like to, you know, we like to bring up when people leave us bad comments. But I mean, hundreds of people have left us really good, great comments. I mean, the bad comments are maybe a handful, okay? But I think what bothers me the most is those people don't seem to get who we are and what we're doing, you know, and and they don't understand, like, just leaving those bad comments, that somebody
gives us ammunition. No.
Yeah, it gives us ammunition. But
fuel.
But somebody may read it and not understand how far out of context those things were taken. And just like you said, then again, somebody can start up, can never listen to us and start. I guess I shouldn't even feel like, I don't feel like we're important enough that anybody's going to start a campaign to get us.
That'd be the best thing that ever happened to us, wouldn't it?
Probably. Yeah. Which leads me to, you know, we were talking about our good buddy, Stacy Brown. Okay. Yes. And, you know, he makes no qualms. He has no, he can't stand, some of this stuff, which is, it's gotten kind of out of hand, and on both ends of the spectrum, it's gotten a little out of hand. But, he said, look, our haters make us famous, which I don't think we don't have any intentions on being famous. You know, we just
want to be rich.
Yeah. Yeah. We don't need fame. We just be rich. But, huh? But in that conversation that I had with the great Stacy Brown, he used what he called as some spy lingo that I wanted to throw out there to you. What in your experience in the spy business is a limited hangout? He said you would know.
It's not just a spy hang. I mean, that's stuff that these people do now, right? But when I say they do, you know, younger people, techies, hang out. You know what I mean? Hang out in these hangouts, these spaces, if you will. You know, whether
like
that
room, virtual rooms, or whatever.
Like you hear in chat rooms, right?
Okay.
So, and then they chat with strangers. Well, there is a theory that the government runs some of those, or at least people, agents of the government, lurk in those things and use them as a honeypot. You know what I'm talking about when I say honeypot?
Like draw people in and...
Yes, to draw people in, and then they decide if you want to kidnap the governor of Michigan or whatever. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Whatever. So there's some defense theories right now. Okay, so some of these people... would they have did those theoretical crimes if the government wouldn't have had to set that up in the first place? Does that make sense? So if me and you wouldn't have set the thing
it's
up,
kind of, it's kind of like it's kind of like the Dateline stuff with Keith Morrison when they used to do the sexual predators and they would set it up and then bust the people that came to do the. But would those guys have done it if it hadn't been them setting it up? Yes. Right.
Okay. So I never got in that because I wasn't in the. I'd like to think of myself as a more realist. Okay. Mm-hmm. Do you know how many times Timothy McVeigh threatened anybody or did any overt action against the government before his bombing in Oklahoma City?
Maybe none.
He didn't. Zero, right? The people you have to worry about are the people that are completely dedicated to a mission, right?
Because they're not announcing it that they're doing
that. They're just doing it, right? So what you have is, you know, I call it the difference between you got Joe Burrows, who goes out and wins a football game, and then you got a million fantasy football players. And when you're in those chat rooms with those weirdos, they're fantasy football players. Right, in whatever game they're playing, whether that game is Top of America or make the next Bitcoin, whatever those rooms are, right? The people that can do it go out and do it. And those, yeah. And you know, and you're never going to know they're there, right? Now, I did want to try to run a honeypot one time when I was working years ago, and I was going to have a CB with a 200 watt linear. You know what that is? And it was going to be like a CB honeypot because there was a group of people that was anti-government that talked on a CB.
Really?
And I had to go. Yes. You know, because they think that they're not being spied upon. You know, like if you use your text, they're going to get your text messages. you know, if me and you were in Cleveland and we're texting some bad shit that's going to happen in Cleveland, right? Yeah. Somebody can get a copy of our text, or maybe once we do the crime and they suspect us, they subpoena our text messages. They will see that, right? Well, if we used our CBs and different covert channels or whatever, hey, meet me over here or do that. You know, there was a whole lot into it that I can't get into, but we got laughed out of the building because they thought it was insane.
Really? But there,
first, I had to explain to these people what a CB radio was, and
what did they think? Nobody, I mean, what time frame are we talking? Because did they think nobody was still on CBs or what?
It was threats against President Obama. No, it was threats against President Obama.
So it's
was a whole backstory to that. The people, huh?
Yeah. So what I'm saying is it's not like when we grew. Yeah, it's not like when we grew up where CBs were, there were no cell phones and CBs were the form of back channel communication.
Right.
Right. And so would they think that nobody was still using them, that they would use their cell phones and stuff?
I think that they weren't the brightest people out there. Okay. So they have a little CB McCall, CW McCall, and a little
convoy.
Convoy. They had that in their brain, and they were,
they didn't think these people were a threat based on.
I never thought they were a threat, but some people in management wanted them to. So, you know, it's a $2 bet to keep the track running, right? If you're at a racetrack, you know, very few people go down and throw $5,000 trying to get a trifecta, which you have 5,000 people throw in a dollar, right?
Yep.
Yeah. Law enforcement's the same way. So it's writing your wife a speeding ticket going to work theoretically keeps the wheels going because
our bodies come in different shapes and sizes. So doesn't it make sense that our weight loss plans should too? That's the beauty of Noom. They build a personal plan that factors in dietary restrictions, medical issues, and other personal needs so your plan works for you. Noom doesn't restrict or shame when you want to treat yourself. Their flexible program focuses on progress instead of perfection. You don't have to give up carbs or anything. And with their daily lessons, you can learn something new about your food choices every day. After just a few days of using the app, I learned how to recognize cues for overeating and how to choose the right foods to feel full. Stay focused on what's important to you with Noom's psychology and biology-based approach. Sign up for your trial today at Noom.com. That's Noom.com. And check out Noom's first ever cookbook, The Noom Kitchen, for 100 healthy and delicious recipes to promote better living. Available to buy now wherever books are sold.
It shows management's able to show elected officials that, hey, we're doing something because we're out there proactively. We had 150 law enforcement contacts this month. They're 500 or 50,000, however big your agency is. Now, what they don't want to tell you is those, you know, 97% of them is just stopping some taxpayer going from point A to point B for some trivial thing like your license plate being expired or whatever, right?
Mm-hmm.
They sell that to management. So there's a certain amount of stuff that goes on just to justify your existence to the people that vote in your budget, whether that's a city hall or state legislature or the U.S. Congress, right? So sometimes you look at dipshits who can't even figure out how to get from point A, you know what I mean? They can't even tie their shoes as legitimate threats against the world because you need a contact. You need to show management that you're doing something.
Yeah,
whether exactly. That's because management does not have the fortitude to tell everybody, hey, there's really nothing going on. So our guys are going to hang out until something does happen. And when they happen, they'll be fresh to stomp on. Instead, they wear you out with trivial bullshit. The thing I used to get, and this is going to sound terrible, I shouldn't even be talking about this, is all the tan man leads. So I'd have to go after 9/11, every tan man was a potential 9/11 hijacker, right?
Yeah, that's the way it seemed.
And 98% of the people that I had to go talk to were Mexicans. Because at that time, you know, 25 years ago, 20 plus years ago, there was a lot of pre-boomers still alive. And if you were an old German that grew up in the 30s or the 40s, all they know is they're not white. Right? Yeah. So when they see a tan man, they immediately think, you know, they don't think Santana, they think Osama.
I see what you're saying. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So they would say, call in and say 1-800, you know, help me was I got a group of Muslims next door and I think they're up to something. And then you would go over and talk to them and they were up to something because sometimes they were here illegally, which 20 some years ago they cared about. They don't really care about that now, but anyway, I'm going off on a tangent. So now, you know, that's being even tougher now because if they're the Latinx, right? So they might be tan. They're not the tan man anymore. They're tan people. So you'd go there and they would look at you in the face and say, I'm actually a girl. And then our complainant says tan man and you're a tan girl. So it's not you. It's okay. Leave me alone.
Okay.
I can see where maybe that's, yeah. Mm-hmm.
I really don't think that's happening.
I don't know what's happening in the world because I'm so far out of it. You know what I mean? I have two big dogs that think they're people because they want to sleep on the furniture all the time. So maybe it is natural. Don't just wonder. They think they're people, right? So why can't people think they're animals?
Well, I think just because you live like an animal doesn't mean you really are. I think it means you're a person with terrible hygiene and expectations is what. You know, if you're going to live like an animal, which, you know, I see some of that on my mail route where people just throw trash out on the front porch, throw trash out in the yard. And you think, well, no, their insides must be really nice because all the trash is out. Then you look inside their house and there's just trash all over. That's the stuff I'd want to be worried about.
I don't know. Maybe we need to change the subject because you're depressing me. And this is the only thing that doesn't depress me in my world. And now it's turning against me too. So unless you want me to go off like Ron White, I could go. I'm halfway between Ron White and I was going to say Tracy Lawrence, but it ain't Tracy Lawrence. It's
Martin Lawrence.
No, who's the other?
Tracy Lawrence is a
country. He's a country singer, isn't he?
He's country. Yeah, he's country
singer. Yeah, you know, Martin Lawrence right here. I was thinking of who's the guy that keep trying to cancel on Netflix? Does these comedy shows?
Dave Chappelle.
I would like to think I'm somewhere between Dave Chappelle and Ron White. And it takes everything I have not to go off every time me and you talk on the world. Politicians. The world and you know the world's not bad, it's the people in it, right?
oh man. Well, you know, I don't think the world's that bad. You know,
the world is absolutely great, and that's why I don't understand the people that complain. They're so soft, they complain about BS. So Superman can't be the freaking Green Lantern, period.
Yeah, can't be
without a doubt, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
So
unless he actually changes his uniform. There you go. If he's going to change his uniform, then
okay. Yeah, but then do the skill sets stay with the person or go with the uniform?
I don't know. I mean, what skill, let's be honest, what skill sets does the Green Lantern really have? He wears a ring, right? Is it in his ring? All his, like, he's got that, the twists and he can run fast and do. I mean, I don't even know what the Green Lantern really does. So if you're Superman, why do you want to become the Green Lantern? Because I think being Superman, he's got a lot more good
this
stuff.
Is the problem. This is what Lee, I think, and this is my uneducated.
Now, are we talking about people or are we talking about superheroes?
Both, right?
Okay.
Because sometimes being Superman ain't enough after a while. You know what I mean? So then you got to be the Green Lantern. You know, it's like when we were kids, if you had one ear, remember the one earring was bad. If you had, it was, if you were in the left ear, it was okay. But the right, it wasn't.
Remember I guess. I remember that. But nobody wore earrings back.
Yes, that's what I'm saying. But when somebody had one, it was a big deal. Remember mm-hmm. that? It was a big deal. And then it was two earrings. And then it was you know, big gauges in their ears or what, you know what I mean? So you, in order to get that splash, younger people, as you know, need to want to stand out because they don't want to be like every other kid on the block. Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah.
So maybe Superman's the same way. After you're Superman a while, it ain't enough and you want to be Green Lantern.
I guess, but I don't, you know, I don't know. I don't know why you'd want to be the Green Lantern still.
I would want to be George Jones.
George.
That's another story.
You'd want to be George Jones. Mm-hmm. Which, it, and when I, and another thing I, you know, another problem I think a lot of people have is they don't really know history. And they don't know what, you know, some of this stuff has really been going on for hundreds, if not thousands of years. And you just go back and listen to some stories just about from the 30s, 40s, and 50s. And, you know, the crazy stuff that went on then is makes what goes on now look like kid stuff. You know, it's just a different, there's just a different group that's being chased after, persecuted, and you know, it's just cyclical with people.
I feel this show sucks, man, and I don't really know. Instead of being the Titanic and going down in flames, me and you are like a John boat carrying, you know, with a hole in the bottom, just leaking on water here. Because I'm telling you what, how did we just let this one malcontent take over our whole production today?
I don't know. So let's end it on a positive note then. I mean, I think it's positive. We're having a discussion, and I think people listening, you know, are either going to agree or disagree, which they can. And it's part of it. You know what I'm saying? It's part of it. I don't care. People can disagree with, you know, and that's the thing is, even you and I disagree on stuff, but I'm not going to write a review on it and throw the baby out with the bathwater, so to speak.
I don't write reviews. Are you a review writer?
I do. I write, like if we go somewhere and the service and stuff is, I don't write bad reviews. I've written one bad
review. Well, then what good is it?
Well, because if I, here's how I look at it. If I had a really great experience somewhere, I want to share that I had a great experience. Okay. If I had a bad experience, I don't know necessarily that bad experience is just, I guess, the same as I don't know if a good experience is the normal. I don't want to assume that a bad experience is the normal for that place. Okay. Especially when it comes to like restaurants or service oriented establishments. But if somebody does a good job, I feel like it's a good thing to share it with people and say, hey, this is my experience. It was really good. A bad experience, I feel like you don't understand what might be happening in that person's day that may affect the experience. There's a lot of stuff that is out of people's control, especially in a restaurant. And you're just dealing with the person coming out to the table. You know, and I just don't feel like putting out bad experiences based on service is helpful to anybody. I think everybody should go and figure that out on their own. But I think if you have a good experience, I think it's really, and that's what the world lacks, is cheering people on who do a really good job. Or do a job that a lot of people wouldn't want to do and do it excellent and without a bunch of fanfare. Okay. I understand like the bad part of it because I run this basketball league and I get like I had parents blowing my phone up last night because they didn't agree with an official. Okay. In a game who gave a technical to their coach. And while I understand their point of view, was one thing. I, you know, contacted other people that had no dog in the fight that were at the venue and got the whole story. And so I understand that the referee, you know, gave the guy warnings and asked him nicely and the guy wouldn't listen. So he finally gave him a technical. Well, if I would have just listened to the one side and read their bad reviews, I'd have thought this official had no business being there and doing another game. So, but I understood that, you know, it's two-sided when it comes to bad reviews, you know? So that's why I cut some people some slack, you know, when it comes to that, and do try to do my homework. If that makes sense. So, but I think if somebody does a good job, that's really, you know, it's kind of cut and dry. Somebody did a good job. They exceeded expectations. So there you go. That makes, I mean, that makes sense. So yes, I do reviews. Long story short, if somebody does a good job, I don't hesitate. I don't hesitate to tip good. I don't hesitate to give somebody 5 stars and write up a little thing about it. Because I think
Do you ever tip bad because the service was terrible?
No. No. I just don't tip quite as well. But I always tip a certain, you know, I feel like I know people, I worked in restaurants. It sucks. It's a terrible job, you know, for the most part. Nobody really wants to be in somebody else's kitchen serving other people when they could be home with their family at that time on a Friday night. You know what I'm saying? So everybody's doing, I think everybody does the best they can. So I try to understand that. I mean, I was a busboy for a year. Do you think it's a fun job cleaning up after sloppy, dirty people? Not everybody's like that, but you know, you got some instances where it's just terrible, but it's your job. You got to do it. If you don't like it, you got to find something else. You know, but people in restaurants, especially the servers, they don't get paid very much. You know, I don't know why people think they do, but they don't. They certainly don't. You know, and people are very demanding. That's what's really.
I think that's the problem nowadays, which is why we need. I think what we really need, maybe not.
Well, they're more demanding, maybe and not. Less understanding is basically the, you know. And we need more understanding.
Well, no, I think what we need is a good ground-based conventional war, not quite World War I, but certainly maybe World War II, where you have large swaths of people understand what hardship is.
Okay.
And the only way to do that is mud and blood and loneliness.
Now, do you think that's why the United States was so prosperous after World War II? Is because all those people that went and fought the war and then the
no,
people
it's
that were
we
left
have
behind?
Natural resources. We would be that prosperous today if we would exploit those natural resources, but we won't, which is a whole other political conversation that we won't talk here because we don't talk about that. But and then you had people that were fine with buying a brand new 55 Chevy with no air conditioning. Or because you just had people that understand what hard was.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And they weren't sissies. And you know, I think the whole social media thing, and I know everybody's heard this, you know, you've got a bunch of bullies on there that don't think anybody's going to come punch them in the mouth.
Yeah, exactly.
Right. So if we had a team of people that could deploy at a moment's notice based on your location, on your thing, to kick your ass when you said something shitty, people would say less shitty. So really, all the anti-bullying thing has done is created more bullies. Because back in the old days, only certain people rose to the pinnacle of bully. Because most people got their ass kicked before they ever got to be a very good bully. Right, I think we've had this conversation before.
I think Stacey Brown just pulled his Uber over and said, "Oh my God, it's a brilliant idea! A group of people all around the country that could punch somebody in the mouth."
When they need it, and then you know what? They'll quit saying stupid stuff because I have a love-hate relationship with Twitter. I love Twitter. There's a few people on there I love to follow, but then I go down in the comments, and it's the one venue that. Not one, but it's one of many venues where people that have know absolutely nothing about a topic and they try to pretend to be some kind of fucking expert.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, that happens a lot.
And the sad part is we have elected officials and people in not elected and appointed, who when Twitter blows up, they think Twitter is real. And it's not real. It's not real.
Oh, man.
It's like a cartoon that's... It's an adult cartoon that's acceptable. You know, 30 years ago, adults wouldn't have watched cartoons, right?
No, wait a second. I watched Bugs Bunny and Ren and Stimpy.
I mean, dudes that were in their 40s and 50s like us wouldn't have sat around and watched a bunch of cartoons. But now we have millions of adults that live cartoon life on Twitter or social media, right? Now, I have a friend of mine. Go back to cartoon. I got a friend of mine that is tatted like you can't even believe, right? He's an old Ranger Battalion guy. He's got a full back tattoo that would make him famous if people would see it. You know what I mean? Like if you wrote a movie and you wanted to, you can't even imagine this guy's tattoo in the back. And I remember talking to him. Me and him was in Amsterdam and we were walking around or whatever. And I said something about the tattoos. And I said something about, doesn't it scare people, you know, or whatever. He said, nah, you know, a little bit, right? Right. So I asked him what the scariest tattoo he'd ever saw or what, you know, what, and he told me when he was in the 1st Ranger Battalion at Fort Bragg in the 80s, when he first got in there in the late 80s, there was an old, like E6, E7, like an old sergeant that had been around forever, like a holdover from the Vietnam era guy that was there. So, you know, like 66 to 86, he'd just have his 20 in, right? So he'd be like a Vietnamese. And he said he was all inked up with nothing but cartoons, like Bugs Bunny and Yosemite Sam and shit like that. And he said everybody was scared to death of him. He said not only because he was inked up, but what kind of crazy dude would put cartoon? You know what I mean? A grown man full of cartoons has got some demons.
I love it. I love it.
He said, dude, everybody, you're just scared of him because what kind of grown man that had been through the shit he'd been through, and he's just, and I think that's what he said to dude. He said the cartoons made him feel good. You know, he'd see Bugs Bunny on his arm and he'd forget about cutting a bunch of people's throats and shit. But but now we have people that aren't badasses that live a cartoon life on social media.
So what's the solution? We need more cartoons? More real cartoons?
I think we need less people, which goes in a place we can't go on this podcast.
Thank you for tuning in to this week's episode of the From the Shadows podcast. Until next time, never shy away from the darkness or what may be lurking in the shadows. We are out.
God only knows what's hiding in our shadows.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.